Sue Pedersen.
This is Sue. I'd like to answer Marjorie's question. We do pay an hourly rate. It might be 3 hours or 4 hours plus mileage. And the mileage tends to eat up a lot of the money because we do have to follow the IRS rate for mileage. And that is a big issue as well. So we do pay both an hourly rate and mileage.
To follow up on, this is Margie, to follow up on that question. So what I mean for the mileage, have you ever thought about like setting a specific limit on miles? Because I know in Massachusetts, each consumer is given 120 miles and then that's the limit. And then the consumer then pays the SSP anything over that. So that would help to keep their mileage in check. And then also with the hours. So are the hours being distributed evenly? So when we get our new consumers on the contract, are the hours going to be distributed evenly amongst the consumers? Or is there going to be some that are going to be getting more hours than others? Because I just want to make sure that I'm reducing any kind of like favoritism or anything like that, because I did meet with a consumer recently and they felt like they were not getting services. It was a different person that I hadn't spoken to in a while who is receiving canned services, but they said that they really felt like their getting an SSP was very limited for them, and they brought up issues of favoritism that they were seeing. So I just want to make sure that everybody is served across the board evenly and not some are getting additional services where others are not getting. So that's why we're having this discussion as well, just to make sure everybody is getting the services, because there are several people out there that, that you know, are eligible for the service. Select clients, people who do not use sign, that do not use, you know, they're using all types of forms of communication. So I just want to make sure that we're serving all population, because as a state agency, we really need to be diversified. So I just wanted to find out a little bit about the hours and the miles.
We did receive a request. Received a request, and I was surprised that that question that Marjorie had mentioned, that there was one person who felt like they weren't getting equal services or that other people were getting special treatment. But we really do treat all of the consumers the same. It might be due to a certain location that might be difficult to find an SSP to serve that person. For example, Oxford or Beth Hill, that is a large, that is a big problem in those locations. There are several people who live Western Connecticut, Danbury area, and that is an issue, is, you know, we continue to find the lack of SSPs that for those locations. But all consumers are treated equal, and we depend on the requests that they give us. I can't, you know, I want people to understand, you know, what it's a staffing issue, including SSPs in their area, in order to serve deafblind and to meet their requests. Thank you.
So this is Margie. Thank you for that clarification, Sue. I'll have something to tell them. I wasn't sure what to say to them because I, you know, it was just what they were bringing to me. So I can talk to them about that. So thank you for that.
Jesse Stanley has his hand up.
Hello, this is Jesse speaking. In regard to hiring for SSPs, there are two things. If Sue, could you send me that flyer for SSPs, because maybe here at ASD we can help promote it as well. The second comment I wanted to make, I'm not sure if you guys have heard of the organization Three Monkeys. I'm not sure, or Three Bears, I'm sorry.
It is Three Monkeys.
Thank you, Three Monkeys. They are working on setting up a program where for deafblind, deaf, or a variety of disabilities would request an SSP, interpreters, other staff, that other users, that idea for the deafblind person could say, hey, I need a SSP, I need during this time to go shopping. And then they could look and find an SSP that would maybe even give them a ride to the store to go shopping. My understanding is that they could do work through the state and get paid from the state, or they could work directly for the individual consumer themselves. So I know that there's a lot of deafblind people who don't have the resources to pay for themselves, so I'm not exactly sure how that program is working right now, but I just wanted to bring it to your attention. And Sue is saying thank you for that information. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Jesse, for sharing that information about Three Monkeys. That is new to me. So I wonder if they can work in Connecticut, do you know, or is that a national program, a national organization? This is Jesse speaking. My understanding, that is a national organization, and they had asked me about giving them support, looking for SSPs and other interpreters and things like that. There's a lot of people who are interested that have to fill out an application form, and they'll provide all of the training that is needed. Obviously, an interpreter would need to be certified first, but maybe training as an SSP or another role, they could provide that training. And Sue said thank you.
Chris, this is Pat Clark. I just wanted to say it's 11:40 now, and I'm not sure that the captioner can stay after 12.
Okay, this is Hannah Tyler. I just have a question for Sue. If you can send, I do have a sister-in-law who's looking for work, and she can sign very well. Can I get a job description or the requirements for an SSP? If you can send it to me, that would be helpful. I would appreciate that.
I'd be happy to send that to you. Sure. I'll send you a job description as soon as I can. Thank you for your help.
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to, because of time, we're going to move on. Next on the agenda, we have, let's see, Betty, I'm sorry. The next dates that are planned, Chris, you must have it. I don't have the date.
Sure, Hannah. Our next meeting will be April 25th at 10 o'clock. And for those of you looking ahead for the rest of the year, the other two meetings are Tuesday, July 25th,
okay,
and Tuesday, October 24th.
Chris, this is Pat Clark. I wasn't sure if you were able to see in the chat. There were two comments.
I did not see those. I'm sorry.
From Alvin. I just didn't know if you wanted to address them while you were having a meeting.
Sure. Yeah. Do you want to, are you able to, since I'm not seeing them in the chat.
The first comment. comment from Alvin was related to a discussion that we were having before, and he stated that we do have less than 5 tactile sign language individuals in Connecticut. The second comment was a question. Do you have positions open for new hiring to work with deafblind clients? If you do, could you share the link for anyone to apply?
So I guess those would be being hired by CAN, I believe, if we're talking, there are no current openings in the BSB staff rank, but we do, I think we can ask Margie to and Sue to collaborate on getting Alvin that information.
Christine has her hand up.
Just Christine speaking. For professional opportunities, Helen Keller National Center is expanding their community services in New England. I am hiring a deafblind specialist to replace me as my old role in Massachusetts, but the goal is for it to bleed into other neighboring states. I also have recently hired a employment training specialist that lives right near Hartford, Connecticut. She's about like less than an hour away, who's willing to travel into Connecticut to provide employment services for individuals that are deafblind if there's a need for it. So I just wanted to put that out there and let everybody know about that. If you know anyone interested in the deafblind specialist position, please let me know. That is heavily geared towards employment services. So that's all. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry I have to move. My iPad is low on battery. Okay, next on the update, we have an update on BESB. That's what I have on the list. Program update.
So, I can say that I could lead off with a brief description of update in the adult services arena, one of the 4 programs and the one serving most of our clients with deafblindness. We have just finished recruiting for a rehabilitation technologist, which would be the first rehabilitation technologist that Adult Services, which is the, as I say, the independent living program, will ever have employed. We're waiting as that process cranks through as the candidates the candidate forwarded is undergoing scrutiny by the HR division within ADS. We continue to we're about to start working with the older individuals with blindness technical assistance center at Mississippi State University, which has taken us on as an intensive client for this current year. So the launch of that project with the adult services staff is scheduled for next Wednesday, and we're all looking forward to that very much. And we are currently doing sort of expanding our outreach to look for additional community partners, you know, throughout Connecticut. We're experiencing a bit of a funding crunch in adult services right now, so we're highly motivated to expand our services, our partnerships with other providers. Obviously, the primary exception to that would be funding for clients with deafblindness, where we still have a, you know, obviously considerable grants, you know, state funding for both the work of the Deafblind Advisory Committee's clients and also through the Access Through Technology program that Muriel was good enough to discuss earlier. So that's kind of where we stand in terms of developments within the adult services arena. I don't know if Mary or Crystal has anything to say about what's going on in children's services or vocational rehabilitation. And then Carol could provide an update as she wishes on how things look at the overall Bureau level.
Sure. This is Mary reporting on children's services. I'm happy to report that we were able to hire 4 new education consultants to help ease the sting of the 5 that retired last June. We were also able to hire an orientation and mobility specialist. We're very thrilled to have her on board. Currently, we're serving about 947 students, last time I checked, and the new referrals keep coming all the time. We're getting very busy in children's services, but we're keeping up, and it's good to have these children come on board. And I think that's all for the interest of timing.
This is Margie. I don't see Crystal on anymore.
Okay. Carol, did you want to give an update at all on other BSBY matters outside of the arena?
I will do my best. For VR, I know we are surveying 10 consumers with deafblindness to find employment. BEP, our vending program, I have not attended one of their meetings yet. It is actually next week that they're having a quarterly meeting, and so I will have more information then. But currently, BSBY in general, we also have a staff shortage, you know, that everyone else is experiencing, and we are doing our best to fill vacancies in our clerical department, our quality control, quality assurance kind of arena, and then as well as our fiscal area, went from 10 employees to 3. And so they're working on hiring staff as well. So that is the primary focus right now, is just getting staff so we can have that support to be able to provide more services to consumers.
There are any more comments or questions? We'll move on. All right, well, the next one is report from chair. I don't have anything, but I am thrilled to hear of some of the new things. I love the name Three Monkeys. That's awesome. I do have one question. If there is any funding for someone who may be interested in becoming a SSP, is there any kind of federal funding? Because of such a staff shortage all over, does anyone know of Chris, if there's any grants for that, that we can encourage people to go into that field?
So,
good question.
Margie, are you able to talk about the experience in Massachusetts at all?
Yep, this is Margie. Sure, I can talk about that.
Okay.
So, my understanding is for an SSP, it's basically just a training that you would receive from the agency that's providing it. A lot of times there is there's a component where that's personal experience, and you know, somebody knows somebody else that is is deafblind or hard of hearing and legally blind or vision loss or some kind of a spectrum of deafblindness. Or they're going into the field, maybe somebody who wants to be an interpreter and they want to get experience working with people who are deaf. Or again, somebody who's going into the field wanting to work with somebody who's blind and they've never been exposed to people who are deafblind. So sometimes that experience becoming an SSP really helps them. It helps them to learn their skills to maybe become a mobility instructor by guiding somebody who's blind, maybe learning to be just a communication facilitator, human services. There's different reasons why people become an SSP. As my understanding, there is no actual like certification or degree or anything like that to become an SSP, because everything is relied upon the individual themselves, the person who's deafblind on their spectrum. Some people use their own form of sign language. They have their own home sign. So it's the SSP adapting themselves to that person. So there's no certification for that. But there is training, like to be respectful in the culture, be respectful in the community, different things like that. There's also maybe a component now because of technology. There are some people that are using their phone, texting, maybe a Braille Note Touch Plus or something like that, some other kind of communication device. So as my understanding, there's no actual certification, but there is that training, that one-on-one training that can be given by the individual themselves or by the agency that's going to be hiring them. And that is one of the reasons why I wanted to know a little bit more. I'll talk to my director, Carol, and Chris to know a little bit more about the hiring if we were to allow, you know, our consumers to hire their own SSPs or, you know, recruit them and then give their information to CAN. You know, I'll talk more about that with them, because if they're going to be recruiting their own SSPs, they know what they're looking for in an SSP to make that match. So I hopefully that answered your question, Hannah.
Yeah. Thank you, Muriel. Thank you, Muriel. Okay. Next on the agenda, any announcement? That is what we have on the list before we adjourn.
Lisa Flaherty has her hand raised, as well as thank you. Just a moment. I do have an announcement that DVSAN representative, we did want to announce that we will be having our second annual Deafblind Camp this summer in August, from August 7th through the 12th. And the camp will be held in Griswold, Connecticut. We found a very nice area for the camp to be held. We've reserved it already. Our goal this year is to hopefully hire a total of 30 staff members and 15 campers that are deafblind. A total of 30. So 15 campers and 15 staff members. I think we have some coming from Canada, 6 of them, I believe, which we're very excited about. And Jesse and I are also part of that 15. I did want to make sure that you are all aware we will have a Visitors Day on August 11th that you're all welcome to join. I was incorrect there. I'm sorry. It's August 10th, but it will be an open house for you to be able to come, see what the camp looks like, learn about what our roles are and how deafblind communication happens. But please know you're welcome, whether you are deaf, deafblind, hearing, no matter what, we will be sending that out to you as well. But I wanted to make sure that announcement was included. Jesse, did you have anything you wanted to add to that? And Jesse here. No, I think you covered it. So that will be it. Thank you.
Karen Olson here from New England Consortium on Deafblindness. Just wanted to let you know that our 5-year grant runs out at the end of September this year. and Tracy Evans Lewiselli, our project director, just submitted the new grant for the next 5-year cycle. And we're very hopeful about that. That RFP typically would come out in the summer. This year it came out either end of December or first part of January. So hopefully we'll be renewed for the next 5 years. That's it.
Chris, this is Pat Clark. I just want to let you know it's 11:57.
Great. Okay. So, Hannah, sounds like we're ready to wrap up.
All right. If there are no other announcements, may we have a motion to adjourn?
Adjournment.
Second?
Sandy, I second.
Lisa seconds as well.
Fabulous. We are to adjourn and meeting is over.
Thank you, Hannah.
Oh, thank you, everyone. I would like to close with two daddy jokes. To leave you on a happy dealing with eyes. What is the best invention that allows you to see through walls? Anybody know?
Nope.
Windows. Okay. And now we're dealing with the ears. One man says, I have ringing in the ears. And his friend says, well, answer it.
Get it?
All right, guys. Okay. Thank
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
May you have a wonderful week, and thanks for joining. Until next time, bye-bye.
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 Oh, my God, that was painful. Access to this? Who made the motion?